In our sermon series called Upside Down, Learning from Jesus in an Age of Chaos. And we are, we've got this week and one more week in this section, and then we will be starting, so in 2 weeks we'll be starting the book of Acts. And we're just going to walk through the book of Acts. We feel like it's an opportunity for us to learn from the early church in the way in which our entire culture and the church is going to have to adapt and grow and figure out how to live in this new world that we're living in. And so it's a great opportunity for us to remind ourselves and to refresh ourselves with the truth of the book of Acts and how we can do that. So that's coming in a couple of weeks, but we're going to finish this the next 2 weeks. Well, this year, Whitney decided to plant a garden in the back of our house, and I am terrible at gardening. Whitney is pretty good at it. She's figuring this all out, but I am terrible at gardening, and there's lots of reasons I'm terrible at gardening, but mainly it comes down to this. I lack patience, and I lack foresight. Planting a garden just takes time and attention, even when it doesn't look like anything is happening, right? For it to turn out later, you have to, like, pick weeds when there's nothing else around. You have to plan things out. You have to go out and, like, cover things because of frost. You guys should go check out the Hooksema's garden. It is amazing. It is, like, it's crazy good, right? It takes patience. It takes foresight. It takes planning. Those are all things that I'm terrible at. Well, one aspect or one specific kind of gardening would be having a vineyard, right? Winemaking coming out of a vineyard, coming out of grapes out of a vineyard, is an example of a really long time to get stuff going. If you are to plant grapes in a vineyard, it takes about 3 years from planting that to having grapes that can produce any sort of wine. 3 years. 3 full seasons of all the work that you're going to put into that. And then from there, from harvest, it takes months or even several years before you have a bottle of wine. And then if you want really good wine, you got to wait and let that age, right? So some people will let wine age for like 10 or 15 or 20 years for like one glass. That is patience. It takes so long, which is why our culture, we struggle with patience and taking things long, which is why we've demanded mass-produced wine that comes off the shelf right away, right? That is really quick and easy. It matches our consumeristic approach to life versus an aged good wine. Well, the question that I have for us this morning is, what kind of fruit in your life are you working at? What kind of fruit are you hoping for? Is it a short-term fruit or a long-term fruit? Is it a mass-produced, quick, off-the-shelf wine, or is it an aged wine? That will determine your strategy, your pace, your longevity, your perseverance, and your methods. What are we looking for here as a church? What is our goal and what is our aim? If it's quick results, conversions, mission, numbers, money, or even some sort of behavior changes, we will take the mass-produced wine approach. How quickly can we get the product out? How quickly can we go from start to what we determine is finish? Should that be our aim? Well, I want to suggest, as I have been trying to make the case throughout this sermon series, and something that I think this global pandemic is showcasing, is that that aim is not correct. It's wrong, and the strategy behind it is bankrupt. That the fruit of the Spirit, gentleness, peace, grace, mercy, kindness, love and joy, self-control, the fruit of the Spirit much like the fruit of good wine, needs time. It needs cultivation. It needs care. It needs patience and foresight. And you won't see the results for quite some time. We need to move from a consumer spirituality to a slow and steady connoisseur spirituality. Now, when I say connoisseur spirituality, not stuffy and condescending, right? Like, we've got this figured out. We know the good taste of the fruit of the Spirit. No, but we need to be patient and wait for the good fruit of the Spirit and not quick to run after as quickly as we can get it. We need to move from this consumer mindset to a mindset of patience to enjoy the fruit of the Spirit. So far in this sermon series, we started in the place of looking at, Jesus tells us that his yoke is easy and his burden is light, and so come and learn from me. And then we looked at what it means to devote ourselves to prayer, to escape away from the world and to escape to our Father in prayer. We looked at what it means to avoid worry and anxiety and to trust in the Lord. We looked at what it means to be salt and light in the world, and we focused for the last few weeks on the Beatitudes, Jesus' intro to the Sermon on the Mount, of as a way in us for us to pursue being salt and light in the world, that we want to pursue these characteristics about the church, the Beatitudes. Now, how are we to do all of this? And more importantly for today, and what you're thinking is, how does any of that have to do with wine and gardening? Well, Jesus teaches us that the way to live life with the easy yoke, with the light burden, in prayer without worry and anxiety, in order to be salt and light in the world and to live the good life, the blessed, happy life, we need one thing. We need to be with him. We need to be with him, with Jesus, in union with him, abiding in him. We need the good portion that Mary chose to sit at the feet of Jesus and to be with him. And apart from this, all our attempts at kingdom life will be frustrating, unsatisfying, fruitless, and simply not worth it. All of our attempts at kingdom life will not be worth it unless we are with him. In his book, With, by Sky Jathini, it's a fantastic book. I recommend it. It's just called With. He identifies five postures that we take in our relationship with God. The first is life from God. We are seeking in this posture to get God's blessings and gifts, but not really particularly interested in him, right? God sort of functions as a vending machine. We want something and he's going to give it to us. But we don't really care about him. We care about the things that he gives us. The second is life over God. The mystery and wonder is removed, and we're looking for practicals or proven formulas to produce outcomes. We ignore God, and we look to our own wisdom or the wisdom of the world to get the results that we want. We simply ignore God's presence. The third is life under God. God works in simple cause and effect manner. Obey the rules, get the blessed life. Disobey the rules, get curses. And we function in this fear under God, living under his brutal rule. That was the fourth, we have life for God. Now, this is the one that is probably most common in the church, in that we are the most commonly held up as the noble path, life for God. It's seemingly noble. Life is worthwhile only when we are accomplishing great things for God. We have something to offer God, and so we are going to sacrifice ourselves in service for God. Now, finally, Sky puts this path forward that he advocates for us to take. which is what the Bible teaches, life with God. Life with God. At the center of the universe is a triune God in relationship with himself. And therefore, creation and redemption is the invitation for us to be a part of that relationship, for us to live life, to join in the divine dance of the Trinity, to be invited into the greatest ecstasy of the universe, relationship with God, relationship with God. We need to move from any of these other postures that we have, even the ones that seem noble, like a life lived for God. If we are going to have lasting, long-term fruit, we need to move to a posture of life with God, living life with him. So, in order to do this, we need to go back to wine. Jesus, in John 15, the text that we're going to be looking at this morning, says this: I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. All right, so this is a pretty straightforward metaphor that Jesus uses, right? Pretty straightforward, even if you are like me and don't know anything about gardening or vine dressing or anything like that, right? Pretty straightforward. Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you are to have life, you must be connected to me, right? A branch does not live on its own. If you cut a branch off or it breaks off, it will die. It doesn't take very long, right? This is what happens a lot. If you go to my house after this, you'll see branches lying around because we'll get excited. We'll pick some branches off, we'll prune some stuff, and then we'll forget to pick it up, and it'll just sit there, and then it'll die, and then it'll kill the grass under it, and it does not go well. But that's what happens, right? If a branch is cut off from the vine or from the source of its life, it dies. That's it. But though this is very simple, it's incredibly important. There is no spiritual life that can be had apart from connection to Jesus. No spiritual life can be had apart from connection to Jesus. There are no multiple paths to God, no alternate ways, no man-made wisdom, no oasis of rest and peace, no experience that will give you spiritual life apart from Jesus. Now, we know this, right? We say this. There is salvation in no other name but Jesus. But yet, we live our lives often seeking to find spiritual life in places other than Jesus. If we're honest, we often seek for life in other ways and spaces. And we're frustrated, and we don't understand why. And it's because we're not being connected to the vine, to Jesus. Only Jesus can grant this to you. And this is good news. We go around trying to suck life out of things that cannot give life, right? We go around trying to attach ourselves to things that will not give us life. But true life is available. It is here. It's found not in manipulating God or in great acts of service to him, right? That's not what Jesus says. Jesus does not say in this passage that So go do those things and then come back to me and I will grant you life. It's not found in service to him, but in him. In Jesus himself, this is where life is found. Connection to Jesus. Connection to Jesus, to the vine. And we are connected to him by our faith in Christ. When we are trusting in Christ, placing our faith in him, right? Our trust in him fully, we experience union with Christ. Our faith unites us to his life and death and resurrection, which means we get the forgiveness of sins, right? We get forgiveness for all the ways in which we've disobeyed God and run away from him, which is amazing. But that's not all we get. You know, sometimes I think we live our Christian life as if we were to get married only to get the marriage license and certificate so that we could get the tax benefits, but not actually to be in relationship. Sometimes we live our Christian life that way. Like, I have faith in Christ, so I get the benefit of forgiveness of sins, but do I really have a relationship with him? Do I really spend my day connected to him? Do I really even want that? Do I just want the benefit that he gives? Or do I really want him? That certainly is offensive to God, as it would be in marriage, right? That would be very offensive if you were like, hey, this is great. We get this tax benefit. So we're going to sleep in separate rooms. I don't care where you go, actually. You can sleep wherever. I got this tax benefit now, right? Like, that would be highly offensive in marriage, right? That would be sinful for us to treat God this way. But I don't want you to focus on the offensive part of it, the sin that is in it, but on the stupidity of it. Friends, relationship with the God of the universe is freely offered to you. Freely. Freely offered to you. We can have relationship with the God who knows all things, who knows stars and galaxies that we have not yet developed technology to see, who knows fish in the deepest parts of the sea that we have not yet seen. And they exist simply for his glorious pleasure. He knows all of those things. So if you want knowledge, you have relationship with the God of the universe. If you want wonder and awe, he has created all of those things in splendor and glory. If you want love and care, he is the one who gave up glory to go to a cross to die for you. And he is now saying, come to me. Come to me. I'm the vine. You are the branches. Just come. The vine is doing all the work. Just come and be connected to me. So what does it mean then to be connected to him, to abide in him? He says, if you abide in me, what does it mean to abide with him? Well, daily connection, really moment by moment, trust and connection to the Lord. Moment by moment, thinking about our relationship with the Lord, connecting with him, speaking to him, listening to him, right? Think about abiding in him like you think about any other relationship. You put effort and care into maintaining that relationship, into communicating with one another, into being together. And here's a glorious thing. You know when a friendship crosses a line into, like, this is a real friendship? One of the ways that I see that in my own life is when I can hang out with someone and we don't have to do anything or even talk. We're just, like, kind of present with each other, right? Where like it's natural. We don't have to force communication. Like I don't need a list of like questions to ask you so that we can build relations. We just know each other well enough that we can just sit. That's the kind of relationship that the Lord is offering us. Where you can just sit in his presence. You don't have to say anything. You don't have to come up with all these fancy words to approach him. He is your king, your savior, your father. You can just be in his presence. You can just be in his presence. We can also think about it like vine dressing, right? Like gardening. Gardening is something that you have to keep up with daily rhythms and habits. If you're going to do it well, it has to be a daily rhythm and habit. It can't just be this one-time thing. Hey, I planted that seed. Now, in 6 months, I come back and I harvest something. No, you're going to harvest a lot of things, but it's not going to be what you planted, right? It's a daily habit that you have to build into your life, habits and rhythms. So we all have this. We mostly just don't think about it. So what I want you to do this week is actually take time to think about, how do I spend a normal day? What do I first do when I get up? How do I spend my free time? When I have a free moment, what does my mind gravitate towards? What am I thinking about? What are the things that I'm actually actively pursuing, right? Because oftentimes what we do is we get caught up in sort of the busyness of life, and we think that our relationship with the Lord will come eventually, but we don't actually spend any time cultivating that relationship. Well, if you don't spend any time cultivating that relationship, the weeds are going to come up, and then in the desperate moment, you're going to abandon it and go for something else because you're going to get choked out. We're in this moment right now where we get an opportunity. The whole world has kind of paused and tried to restart, and then we're kind of like, wait a second, what are we doing here, right? It's like we're driving a stick and we're stuck between gears and we don't really know what we're doing at this moment, right? But this is an incredible opportunity for us as the church of Jesus Christ to take a moment and say, wait a second, were we living in any sort of healthy way? Like, was my life defined by being connected to the vine? And what habits and rhythms do I need to build into my life so that this moment by moment presence of God is active in my heart? I'm going to have to build in time where I escape to go and be with the Lord alone, in silence and solitude, in prayer, in extended times with him. If I don't build that rhythm in, trust me, that rhythm is not coming. That's not a rhythm that is normal in our culture. It's not a rhythm that you're just going to like step into. It's an active thing that you have to say, I'm going to go do that. And I go do that then so that when I'm in the world, in the busyness of life, doing my daily life that God has called me to, right? Because he's called us to be in the world, right? We still have to go do stuff. We still have to do our jobs and raise our families and do all those things. But I can go do that because I've got this deep connection with the vine that I have spent time cultivating. So that when I'm here, I know the presence of the Lord. I don't have to say anything. I don't have to do anything because I'm experiencing the presence of the Lord because the Holy Spirit lives within me and I've spent time cultivating that relationship. We need to spend time in God's word and in prayer, recapturing the wonder and awe at the Lord. Right, not just spending time in the Word to know, like, okay, I need to know my Bible well enough to know these five things that I need to do today or anything like that. We need to know the story of God from the Scriptures. We need to go to the Word developing the awe and wonder at the glory of God. Just pick any aspect of God. Pick the fact that God is triune. Anyone want to make a stab at explaining that, right? God exists eternally in three persons. So he doesn't need us. He actually loves us, right? If you have need for someone, it's hard to love them, right? Because you're trying to get something from them. Well, he has perfect relationship, so he just gets to love us. It's one aspect of the glory of the Trinity. He is perfectly happy within himself. He is like a fountain that overflows in relationship and life and joy to his creation. That's one thing that we can just focus on throughout the scriptures to develop an awe and a wonder at God. Developing an awe and a wonder for God. So we need to build these daily habits, these monthly, weekly habits into our lives so that we're cultivating our relationship with God. But there's another aspect to abiding in God. He says, what does he say here? Let's see. Abide in me. Oh. My Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. You see, if we're going to abide well, we need to be pruned by the Lord. We need to be pruned for more fruit. Pruning, right, is to cut off branches that are dead or not producing fruit. Even some of them are alive, right, but they're just not producing fruit. So you got to trim them back so that the energy can be pushed towards the things that are producing fruit. A pruned tree will grow more fruit rather than an unpruned tree or vine. Suffering and sanctification, mortifying sin. This is part of what it means to be abiding in Jesus, cutting off unhealthy things. If we're going to abide in Jesus, we need to cut away the unhealthy things. Now, not just the sinful things. That's true, absolutely. We have to cut out sinful things, and God will do it in us by the Holy Spirit and by the fellowship of believers, right? Others within this body will call out sin in our lives and we will repent and go, move forward, right? That's a pruning. So we got to cut out sinful things, but we also have to cut out unhealthy things that are not contributing to you being connected to the vine. If you cannot bear fruit apart from vine connection, if life itself is meant to be with God, meant to be lived with God, then change the way you examine your life. You know, often we examine our life by saying, does God allow this thing? Because I really like this thing. Does God allow this? We need to change the way in which we examine our life to say, does this activity cultivate a deep sense of awe and wonder and love for God? Does it connect me to Jesus where my life is truly found? If we evaluate our lives that way, our life looks a lot different. We're actually saying, hey, the most important thing in my life is being connected with the vine. Meaning, I need to trim things. Right? We all breathe this cultural air. We all suffer from the fear of missing out massively. If you want to be connected to the vine, you have to miss out. You just can't do everything. You simply cannot do everything if you're going to cultivate a relationship with God. If you're going to cultivate real, deep, meaningful connection to the Lord. Certainly, that means we will remain in his commands and cut away sins, but also we will limit things that are non-sinful. Activities, hobbies, entertainment, houses, money stored up, all of these things, we may not eliminate all of these things, but we may limit them so that they don't rise to the place of ultimate or take away from the prized treasure of our lives, Jesus. Is Jesus really the prized treasure of my life? If so, I need to cling to him. Remain in my love, my word, and my commandments is also what Jesus says, to remain in him, to abide in him. Now, there certainly is a warning here, right? that those who do not produce fruit will be cut away. There is a warning here, but it's also an invitation for grace. The only way possible for us to have any fruit is to be connected to Jesus. And Jesus is offering it. So if you want to produce the fruit of the Spirit in your life, don't work on trying to drum up in you more self-control. Connect to Jesus, the source of life. Because fruit only comes on the branch when it's connected to the vine. No possibility exists for lasting fruit apart from the vine. Now, God is offering us life with him. Why is this so hard for us? Right? Because this sounds so good, right? Why is it so hard for us to connect with the Lord like this? Why do we fight it? Well, certainly we're fallen, we're broken, we're weak, and the Lord gets that. In our brokenness, we struggle in the midst of this. Sometimes we fight grace because grace takes away our control and we actually really want control, right? The branch doesn't get to choose where it goes. The vine chooses those things, right? The vine chooses how much fruit is produced. The seasons and the weather, all of those things are factors outside of the control of the branch. And that's true for us too. Sometimes we're in a season in which life is really hard, connection with the Lord is really hard, and we don't know why, but our good Father in heaven does. So we just cling to him because it's the only thing we have. Grace is hard because it calls us to that. But also the brokenness and struggle of our lives, the ways in which we've been sinned against and hurt, the traumas we've endured, all of those things make it hard to simply be connected to the Lord and be loved by him. The main thing, the main point of being connected to the vine is simply being loved by God. Simply being loved by God. Jesus goes on in John 15 to say this, "As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love." He says, abide in me, and it's not an invitation for you to do all this work. It's to come and be loved by him. To come and experience his grace. He's saying, come here. I want to love you. Just come here and let me love you. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Right? To obey the Lord, we do so not out of this sense of duty or this fear that he's going to come and condemn us. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ. We do so because we love him and he's loved us and he's good. These things I have spoken to you that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you so that you will love one another. Life is not about us serving God, but being his friend, being loved by him. And being with him. And how does he demonstrate this love for us? Well, he demonstrates this love for us like no other. Greater love There is no greater love than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. That's what Jesus has done for us on the cross in taking our sin upon himself and dying in our place and then rising from the dead so that we can experience the joy and love of God. Life, friends, is offered to us. Let's take it by being with God. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you. God, we often try to live life apart from you. And Lord, we know it's foolish. It doesn't work. And so, God, would you be gracious to us and would you free us from that pursuit? And Lord, would you come and would you love us? We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.